This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December the 29th. It's Friday, everybody. Episode number 1842. This episode is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World. Well, welcome, everybody, to the truly last episode of 2017. We are off this week, as you probably figured out, but we do have a show for you today. I took a look back in the archives, and there was a conversation recently on the auditor page about a couple of our auditors looking at doing pack burro racing in Colorado. Well, we did a show about that with Brad Wan, who explained pack burro racing and how it works. We did a show about it last year, and I thought I'd replay that for you today. It also includes a little Diana DeRosa and some really bad ads to end your year, and a camel, too. So we thought you would enjoy this. We'll be back again on Tuesday live here for our new year of 2018. We hope you have a very safe and happy New Year's weekend. Enjoy yourselves, and we'll see you back here next Tuesday. It's Freestyle Friday, and I'm glad of that. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September 23rd, episode 1526, brought to you by our friends at Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Guess what day it is today? Sunday. No, it's Friday.
I can't believe it. I just don't believe it.
What's going to happen?
Thank God it's...
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Thank God it's...
Yep, it's Friday, and we're glad that you're here. Thank you so much for joining us. Well, Jamie, yesterday I took a look at the count, and we are now here at the Horse Radio Network at 4,982 episodes. We will hit the 5,000 episode mark next week.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Congratulations, boss. That's not where I had no idea you were going to say that. I was like, we have 4,000 what, violations? We have 4,000 Facebook fans? We have 4,000 episodes? That's amazing.
I don't know. There's probably only, there might not be 7 or 8 networks, podcast networks that have that many episodes.
I didn't even know there were other podcast networks. Yes. I mean, we're amazing. This is awesome.
Yeah, there's not too many others that that have hit the 5,000 episode mark. So yeah, a lot of work. A lot of work in there. Thank you, by the way, for contributing about 1,500 of those.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So that's
thanks for giving me a job.
You know, I thought about having a party, but then I was just so tired this week, I couldn't think about it. So
you're like, I don't want to have a party for 5,000 episodes, you know, because I just produced 5,000 episodes.
Right. And it's kind of hard to have a party when everybody is around the country. We could have a party, but Jennifer and I'd be the only ones here. We'd have to set up like monitors all around the room.
No, you know what? If you and Jennifer have a party, nobody wants to see that. We really don't want to see that.
So I was trying to figure out how to have a party, but I couldn't figure out how to have a party with everybody involved without setting up monitors all around the room and having you all Skype in. Which is how they do it at Horse Nation, apparently, when they have their Christmas party. That's how they do it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they all, there's only like 5 or 6 of them, though, and they all Skype with video, and they have a party, and they all celebrate together for an hour that way.
Well, that's what I'm expecting for Radiothon, then.
Yeah, do you really want to be on video? We had a hard enough time doing audio on Radiothon.
That's a good point.
let's not but, add video. So last night, this is how. So we're one of the top podcasting networks in the world, right? So I get invited to do the Podcasters Roundtable, which is a very popular show for podcasters, and it's very. I mean, it's an honor to be asked to be on this show, and they do it on Google Hangouts with video, and they do it live, and then they send out the recorded version. For a half an hour before this started, I could not get my video to work. I tried a second computer could get my video to work. So I was the country bumpkin with no video when everybody else had video.
Aww.
So there you
it's
go.
Probably for the best, boss.
Yeah, that's what I told him. I said, yeah, this is why we do audio. It's because video's too hard. We can't do it.
That's
yeah.
crazy.
So anyway, well, I was there, congrats. But not only in voice, not visually. And I had the camera angle just right that it would show off all the pictures of the auditors behind me too.
Wow, I'm totally on a different plane with you this morning. I thought you were saying I had the camera just right, so it would like a healthy selfie where I'm looking.
No,
up
I tried to avoid me
chin,
as much as possible and point it toward the wall.
That's the hardest part about a selfie is making sure you don't have a double chin.
That's
impossible.
And you always do. And then if you come down from the top, it makes your nose look huge.
I haven't mastered it yet, but I give it hell.
Yeah. You know why? Because we don't have a stick. You need a stick. That's why people have a stick, to make themselves look better.
I can't do the stick.
I know.
I can't. You know what? That's what my mama wanted for Christmas, and I got her a selfie stick for Christmas. And then she calls me, I can't figure out how to make it work. I'm like, oh my God, it's a selfie stick. A billion people have them. You can do this, Mom. You can do it.
Jennifer, what are we doing today? Because it's Friday, and Jamie and I are kind of tuned out, so...
Coming up on today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday Edition. When you thought you'd heard it all when it comes to horse sports, we're going to be joined this morning by Brad Wan, who's going to explain pack burrow racing. Three words you never thought you'd see together. And then mid-show, listener Diana DeRosa is going to report live from Central Park Horse Show. Woohoo!
Yeah.
And then setting the bar lower than a short stirrup cross rail, it's really bad ads time. So stay tuned for the phrase, folks.
I like that. Short stirrup cross rail. The drivers didn't get it.
I think short stirrup.
Sorry. I talked over you. What'd you say?
I said, I think short stirrup is 2 foot. They don't do cross rails in short stirrup.
Now you're being picky.
You don't go to the same rinky-dink redneck horse shows I do.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe at a rated short stirrup or no stirrup cross rail show.
Somebody out there listening had the same thought I did, so I had to throw it out. Go ahead.
My Daily Whinny goes out to the Kentucky Horse Park, who has applied to host the 2022 World Equestrian Games. That came out on Kentucky.com yesterday, which is the newspaper there in Lexington. Apparently, the Kentucky Horse Park has submitted a letter expressing formal interest. Now, this is not a formal bid. They have to express formal interest. Now, we still haven't resolved what's happening with the 2018 World Equestrian Games at this point.
Can we get that taken care of first?
Yeah, shouldn't we be thinking about that before 2022? And is there going to be one in 2018?
It expires. The Rolex name of the stadium being named Rolex ends at 2019.
Right. Now, the question is going to be, what they want to do is they want to resolve this whole WEG thing before it expires so they know whether to renew, because they need the Rolex money, or they need money from somebody. That money has been invaluable. That was a 10-year contract, and it paid a lot of money. And again, can we just say again, who the hell's buying watches? But anyway, so Rolex, you know, they needed that money at the Kentucky Horse Park that came in. It was $1.2 million over 10 years for the naming rights of the stadium. That's what it ended up being. And, you know, and the state of Kentucky now has really put pressure on the Kentucky Horse Park to at least break even and stop losing money. Did you know that I got some numbers for you. I heard off the record the other day, but I'll tell you anyway. Did you know that it costs $45,000 a day to rent the Rolex Arena, the new indoor? at the Kentucky Horse Park.
Oh, my gosh.
That for the other rings, like if you want to use the other rings, they run from $5,000 to $7,000 a day.
And they're not, I mean, it's busy.
Yeah, and
it
then,
gets busy out there.
Yeah, and it's busy all the time. And then because the new governor said we can't be losing money at this anymore because he's not a horse guy like the Bashirs were, he's just said we got to start making money. They have now imposed a fee. I think it's $11 a horse per show, per class. So if you're entering a horse show, like it's not expensive enough, now there's an extra $11 fee that goes to the Kentucky Horse Park for every horse entered into every show. So not only are they charging like $45,000 for the stadium per day, and then I got to thinking, you know, no wonder the tickets cost so much for like Road to the Horse. They rent that stadium for 5 or 6 days. That's hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's just crazy.
That is big money. Big money. I guess it's the stadium cost them $25 million to make. They got to make that up somehow. And the Rolex at $1.2 million over 10 years. I mean, for what it costs, that's not that much, right? I mean,
it's still $1.2 million in the budget. You know. Now apparently, Longines again, who's buying watches? Deal with the FEI Federation is apparently worth $130 million over 10 years. Longines is paying the FEI $113 million a year over 10 years. Who is buying watches? That's my question. I keep coming back to that because I don't understand it.
I don't know. I don't know who buys watches. I bought a really cool horsey watch from Tack of the Day one time.
I bought a new Timex, $25, because I break them and lose them. I just don't get it. I don't get it.
If you have a Rolex or a Longines watch, please. Hey, that's our question of the day on Facebook.
Yeah, there you go, Jennifer.
Jennifer, ask everybody do you have a Longines or a Rolex watch? And if so, can we see a picture? Like, you know, do you have it? Yes. Did you buy it? How old is it? Tell us everything you guys know. Because certainly somebody, like I remember my mom had a Rolex, but she bought it like 50 years ago.
Yeah, well, that's the next thing. If you buy a Rolex and spend $3,000 or $5,000 or whatever you're spending for it, you're going to keep it. Do you need a second ever? Because they're supposed to run forever. That's part of the charm.
That is.
Well, we bought fake ones, remember, Glenn?
Yeah, we bought fake ones at one time, used to find on the street corner.
I bought one in New York City from the inside of somebody's coat.
That's it. We did mm-hmm. too. Friends of ours went to New York City and came back with these Rolexes. We were so excited, and they stopped working after about 2 weeks. Yeah.
Sorry, my daily Wendy time.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You didn't do yours yet.
All right, so I'll fit two into one since we're running short on time. First of all, to Kristen Kovach, who sent me Workhorse Coffee. It's a medium roast ground, and their website is on the front, and it's called DallahastRoasters.com. Anyway, very good coffee. Very good. So thank you very much for that. The other Daily Winnie goes to our listener, Kathleen. Kathleen was at a Goodwill and saw a drawing, like a really painstakingly done pencil drawing of a horse that was then matted and framed. And it is this big, I didn't realize how big it was, but it's a very large paint picture of a horse drawing, and she posted it on the HRN Horse Radio Network auditor page saying, does anybody want this? I feel bad that it's sitting in a Goodwill when clearly somebody loved their horse and did this drawing. Well, to me, I was like, that is a picture. First of all, I'm like a 12-year-old girl. I have horse pictures all over my house. I mean, it's like a 12-year-old girl lives here and runs the house. Like, it's crazy. So there's horse pictures everywhere. So I thought, what's one more? Because it looks like Thor when he is a super fancy dressage horse. Like, it's the neck that I would like to have on Thor that he will eventually have. So I'm posting it on the Horses in the Morning Facebook page. Thank you, Kathleen, for sending that. It's very, very sweet. Kathleen and Kristen, thanks for you guys sending us stuff. We love it.
Cool. Very good.
And you have to look at it, Glenn, and tell me what you think. Do you think that it looks like Thor in the future? It's future Thor.
old and decrepit and has a sway back?
No. Oh. It's future Thor with big giant muscles and a top line to die for.
Yeah. Looking like Hemsworth, then, is what you're saying.
A top line to die for, shaved ears and beautiful braids.
So are you asking me, is this what Thor could look like, will look like, or might look like?
I'm really not asking your opinion at all, because I don't want to hear it. But to me, it's Thor with the top line that he will have eventually.
It's the fantasy Thor.
Now, I also, excuse me, Lucas has a cold. I also posted on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page the video of Fancy Mustang Thor doing the Spanish Walk. I'm teaching him Spanish Walk.
All right. We'll check it out. Well, let's go to our... Oh, wait a minute.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, mighty Thor.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I thought you haven't heard that in a while. We haven't talked about Thor in a while, so I had to bring that up. Well, you know, the Western Pack Burrow Association supports Pack Burrow Racing, the only sport indigenous to Colorado. And why we were just in Colorado last week, we didn't see this, I don't know. The group seeks to continue a great sport begun by some of Colorado's 19th century miners. So, yes, there is Pack Burrow Racing, and I watched a video of it today, and it is funny to watch because they're, let's just say, the humans are not in charge of those races. And we have with us Brad Wan of the Western Pack Burrow Association with us today to talk about this and how much fun. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning, Glenn and Jamie. How are you doing this morning?
Good. This is a race where the humans are not in charge, is what I determined.
Well, you basically become a donkey whisperer, and you're right. It is a burrow race for a reason. It's not called a human race. So, yes, the donkey has to cross the finish line first in order to clarify a win.
Well, let me tell you what. It looked like those donkeys were having a great time dragging your butts around. Now, tell us how this got started and why in Colorado. And how did we miss this when we were out there on vacation?
Well, you're kind of intermittent in between seasonal races. We just wrapped up our Triple Crown, which is basically Fair Play, Leadville, and Buena Vista. And now we're wrapping up some of our smaller races. And we have one left in the season on October 8th in beautiful Victor, Colorado. And so that's coming up. So how the sport got started. So the legend is that two miners were panning for gold, and they struck gold at the same time. And the miners loaded up their provisions and put them on their donkeys and raced down the mountain to stake their claim. And the law was, is whoever staked the claim first owned the rights to the gold. And so the race was on. So that's the legend. The folklore is that two guys were in a bar and they said, "I have a better donkey than you do." And goes, "No, my donkey is faster than your donkey." And the race was on. A line was formed in the street, and they took off. But the real reason the Pack Burrow race
what you're
got
saying
started,
is, in either case, probably alcohol was involved.
More than likely. And, you know, it was Pack Burrow Racing was formed initially to save these mining towns. As the minings started closing and the work started leaving these towns and communities and counties, The town councils basically had to do something to keep people coming back to the towns to keep the businesses alive. So Pack Burrow Racing was formed as a tourism sport in 1949, and for our 68th year, we've been hauling ass.
So, and I'm guessing that alcohol is still involved. That's my guess. I could be wrong.
You know, the only runner that I know of that ran and drank, and this normally during training, he used to bury beers in the ground through the trail, and they would run from like Leadville to Fair Play, hit the bar, and then, you know, drink along the way, and then they would run back to the other town, which is another 20 plus miles. So So, you know, you run 40 miles in a day with a burro, you know, that's quite the training run.
Okay, so let's describe it for everybody who is not on the website. By the way, if you want to take a look at some of the pictures, go to packburroracing.com. So now you're on a lead rope. You're not riding the burros. They're on their own. They have a little pack. Is there a required weight they have to carry?
That is correct. It's 33 pounds is our regulation weight. We have a 15-foot lead rope, no longer than that. You can have it as short as you want it. And so we have very few rules, but the rules are always engaged to for the safety of the animal and the humans that are running. So they're more safety rules. We do have some fun rules, which means no running or no riding the donkeys and no guns. Those are our two rules.
Well, that's good.
That are the highest core rules, right?
That goes back to the Western days when, so now,
well, imagine shooting a gun at the ground and watching burros scatter.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's really what that rule was put in place, and
which means, right, it happened at some point in the past. So now, how long are you going for? What's the length of the race?
Well, our longest race is 29 miles, and we climb up to elevations of 13,185 feet, which is to beautiful Mosquito Pass, and that's the Fair Play race. That's our world championship race, and we basically, our Triple Crown is about 62 miles in 3 weekends.
So this
and,
is, you guys truly are
quite easily.
You're marathoners, basically, than the runners. I mean, both the donkey and the human.
Well, it's Hal Walter quoted it, which is a great author. You should look him up. And he's quoted it as a cross between a rodeo and a mountain marathon. And it's it's a rocky, you know, four-wheel drive to have hard times going on the roads and trails that we cover. So we've seen many stuck out there as we just pass around them and continue on with our race.
Now, so you, how do you know a donkey is going to be good at this particular sport? And you have kind of a special one that you're going to tell us about, too.
Well, donkeys are all runners. Every one of them have it. The question is, do you have it in you to pull it out of them and make them think it's their idea? So burro racing is really good for life lessons. It teaches you so much because you got to listen and observe and watch and see the triggers of the animal. And you can literally, as you're training, as you're working with these animals, you can pull their solid behaviors out to where they have motivated to actually run and perform for you. Now, burros naturally love to run. Burros in the wild can cover anywhere between 40 to 60 miles a day in the wild to go get water and food and things like that in the deserts. Even in cold, burros are on all continents. They are very hardy animals. They can make it through, you know, negative 10 and, you know, temperatures of 120. These animals are, very, like I said, very hardy indeed, and they can last a long time, and they take care of other animals. They're great protectors. So motivating an animal is the key to this. And so you are able to convince this animal to move forward. Now you're convincing this animal to lead. And all you are is the GPS. So if you need the animal to turn right or left, you give them cues, or you swing an arm, you know, or you take the lead and you have them follow you if you're going into a more treacherous area. Burro racing can kind of look sometimes like that scene out of the movie, The Man from Snowy River, when
yep.
he goes off the cliff.
Yep.
Yeah, that's us, except for we're on foot, and the burro's following. So, you know, it's some of our races can go straight down, and you're sliding most of the way, and the burros are so sure-footed, they're just sliding right down with you and running with you, depending on what course you're on. A lot of times it's just it's a more solid ground, but it's rocky, and it's more treacherous. And you're just trying to find your next footstep while you're doing, you know, a 7-minute mile.
Brad, I got to tell you something right now. The image of Jim Craig thundering down the mountain on his beautiful buckskin horse, Denny, conjures up, like, you know, it kind of gives me a tingly feeling. I'm not going to lie. Now, the thought of you running down a hill with a donkey does not conjure up the same tingly feelings, but I do appreciate the comparison.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, you got to see it. to believe it. And yeah. to be honest with you, if you're standing there on that hill when the people are bolting down it, you're gonna feel like you just watched a movie.
Do you hear that the music in your head, like dun 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 dun?
Oh yeah!
Like as you go down, oh my god!
And then balloons fall from the sky when you finish the race. All that stuff happens.
Yeah,
we incredible. Got to hike a little bit in the Rocky Mountain National Park, and I got to tell you guys, some of that terrain is, and we did some off-roading too, and some of that terrain is incredible. And then you got the 5,000-foot drop right beside you. You guys are just nuts. Is what I'm saying. And this is coming from somebody who would never do the donkey down the Grand Canyon either. So
kind of a wimp.
Yeah.
Well, you know, your first few times it is a little, you know, you got to kind of prepare yourself, but you actually get used to it. You're used to the safety. You're used to, you know, trusting your animal, because trust me, you're not going to get a donkey to do anything a donkey doesn't want to
do. Right. Exactly.
So if the burro feels in fear, you're not going anywhere. And there's nothing you can do to convince that burro to take one more step.
So you
have to trust that animal.
What's the rule when the burro gets loose? When you lose your burro?
Well, if you lose your burro during the race, you have to go and retrieve it and bring the burro back to where you lost it and then start your race again.
Oh, so it's like golf.
Right there at the spot of launch.
It's like a golf ball. When you hit it in the woods, you got to bring it out from where it went into the woods.
Got to take a drop.
Yep, that's right.
Got to take a drop. That's a few people have been disqualified for, you know, dropping a hat, running back to get the hat and leaving the donkey where they were, you know, and then coming back to the lead rope. And never went back to the spot. So you're just like, oh my goodness, I got called out for that. Yep,
you're right. They did lose their ass. That's very good, Jamie.
I really could keep going with these. I really could keep going. I mean,
this is perfect for Friday.
Joke overload.
It goes forever and ever, right? You're only as fast as your ass, you know. Yeah. This is a pretty redonkulous sport. There's no doubt about it.
Do you guys just run the whole 40 miles thinking of bad puns?
And you'll come up with a few on your own. There's no doubt about it.
I bet. I got to tell you, you got to be in shape to do this. You're basically mountain marathoners trying to at least keep a donkey with you. I mean, basically is what you're trying to do.
The top core runners are in phenomenal shape. You know, these guys are in gals. I mean, the women have been beating us for years, and
really?
It was just in the last year or two, the men have started to take the lead, but we've got, women like Barb Dolan and Karen Thorpe that are in the Women's Hall of Fame that have been smoking us on these courses and, winning by great leads. Actually the first woman to ever run a pack brawl race was, Edna Miller in 1952 with her donkey named Pill. Edna Miller, the story is she's a school teacher and she glued a beard on her face and started the race. Well, after they realized she had run it, they're like, yep, they're welcome. If she can knock out 13,000 feet, she can run this race. And so women have been in our sport since 1952.
Wow. Now tell us about Blaster.
And that beats the Boston, by the way.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Blaster is the mascot for the Colorado School of Mines. He did some 30,000 yards last year with the Colorado School of Mines. So every time they score a touchdown, they've got to run from one end zone to the other. And so he stays pretty busy.
That's funny. And now is Blaster yours?
We have other mascots as well. Blaster is co-owned by me and Bill Lee.
Okay. He's cute as a Dickens, by the way. I have his picture here, and he's just cute as a Dickens.
Thank you.
Yeah, he really is cute. Well, this is fun. I mean, you guys are having a great time there in Colorado doing this. And is it the only place that we have ass racing?
That is correct. Pack bull racing is the only sport done here in Colorado. It's the only place we do it at. That is correct.
That's beside the Kardashian compound. That would be the other place, but a completely different kind.
I don't even know where that is. But I can tell you where your local race course is.
Well, this is great. If people want to see the pictures or if you're in Colorado and think this is something you want to do or somewhere out west and want to make your way to Colorado and you have your own burro, then just check out packburroracing.com. That's the website. And I assume all the information they need to get started is on there.
That's correct. You don't have to own your own donkey. You can rent donkeys. We have them available.
Oh, wow.
So if you're interested in running a race,
Jamie!
Just get a hold of us and There you go.
Colorado's right around the corner.
Yeah, you know how
the hardest thing you're going to do is get your airplane ticket
and practice for 30 miles up a mountain. That other
fit.
Thing. Yeah,
get
be
shape.
Fit. Yeah,
exactly. I like to say, listen, if I am running somebody, you should run too, because something's chasing me. Something's going to get us. You better run. Because you are only, you know, you're only going to get eaten if you're the slowest.
Well, the donkey's going to protect you, though. That's what the donkey's there for.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. I do. It'd be like having a little friend. I appreciate that. Well, Brad, thank you so much for joining us. It's funny. And when Glenn said donkey racing, I was thinking like 50 yards. This is incredible. Incredible. So congrats.
Well, you can also look up our movie called Haulin' Ass, and you can find that on YouTube.
Oh, really?
And we've released it there. Right. Trevor Vallon came out and created a great little documentary called Haulin' Ass.
Jennifer, you have to find that and post a link to it on our Facebook page. I have to see that movie. Haulin' Ass. That's
I'll send it over to you.
Oh, good. Yeah, definitely do that. We'll post it on our Facebook page. Thanks, Brad. You're a lot of fun. We appreciate
you
stopping by.
All right.
Thanks,
all right.
Brad.
Bye.
Bye.
I bet he has a nice ass. See?
Yeah, you can't stop. I know.
You can't stop.
I know. We're going to get an R rating by iTunes for this episode. That's wild. I mean, these are some serious athletes.
No, when you said there was burro racing, I was seriously thinking you were talking like, oh, I'm going to, like when I saw the ostrich racing and the camel racing the track, you know,
100
like that's
yards.
What I was thinking. Yeah. No, this is for real. This is like, this sounds awful.
I know. This is like up a 14,000. We saw those peaks. We were at the top of one of those peaks. You can hardly breathe up there, let alone run up it with a donkey in tow. My God.
Again, he's probably got a really nice ass.
These people do not look like they're fat and lazy like us. When I'm looking at the pictures, these people are in shape. And the donkeys, too. These are not fat donkeys like you see in a field that aren't doing anything. Oh, wow. What fun. And thanks, Denise. We would have never found that without Denise, our guest wrangler, who came up with that. She is coming up with some different stuff. That's for darn sure. Well, while we're waiting for our next guest, we have to talk a little bit about Kentucky Performance Products. Kentucky Performance Products has been with us for years. If you're looking for a supplement for your horse, then head on over to Kentucky Performance Products. One of the things I really like about their website at kppusa.com is that, you know how a lot of supplement sites, you go there and there's no real description of what the product does or what it's for the problem it's trying to solve? Well, that's not true at Kentucky Performance Products. If you go there, I'm looking at Nalox Advanced. Down the left side of every one of their product pages, it has these tabs. It tells you what the product is, then frequently asked questions about the product, what it's recommended for, what the ingredients are, the serving and storage instructions, and then it gives you more details on the topic. And in this case, it's your horse's digestion. Of tract health, and it goes into detail on all of those subjects. Well, they do that for every one of their products, and then usually on the page is also a video that describes it, and in this case, a video about the complete digestion of the horse. So, you know, if you're used to going to websites where they only give you the tiny little one paragraph description and you've never been to KPP's website, you need to go there. You're going to learn something. And, you know, when you go to their frequently asked questions, it's frequently asked questions about that particular product, not just in general. So when I'm at Nalox Advanced, there are 10 frequently asked questions that they answer here in detail about that particular product. And, you know, it's the questions that are very relevant that you've been asking, that you ask yourself before you go to use a particular product. So if you haven't been there, if you have any questions about what products are used for what and what the answers are, you're going to find the answers at Kentucky Performance Products. She spent years developing this website. I know, because I was talking to her through that whole thing, and a lot of hard work went into it. It's probably one of the most advanced websites of any of the supplement companies out there. Go there today. Take a look at it. I think you're going to learn something, and you might find a product that will benefit your horse at Kentucky Performance Products. And they're also our partner, woohoo, We're going to be right beside Kentucky Performance Products in our tailgate spot next year for Rolex.
Oh, so, yeah.
We have our own. Now, apparently, by the way, that's kppusa.com. Apparently, we're not allowed to put up signage if we're not a sponsor of Rolex. Like, we can't put our banner up to let everybody know where we are. So guess what I found? I found giant 4 foot tall inflatable microphones on a website. And so I wrote to Karen and I said, do you think they'll kick us out if we just have giant 4 foot tall inflatable microphones attached to our tent? You know, sticking up from the tent. And she wrote back and said, I think we would be escorted out that morning. So apparently she did not like my giant inflatable microphone idea.
Did you buy them already?
I did.
I knew you would have.
How can I not buy giant 4 foot inflatable microphones?
What's going to be really fun is watching you the morning of cross country try to blow those up. You're like, helping. I'm not helping you.
So anyway, we're looking forward to that, too. That's going to be a lot of fun. And we have a ton of listeners and auditors going to both Road to the Horse this year and to Rolex, or next year, and to Rolex next year. We're going to have huge meetups next year.
I think you should get to one of those big, wacky, waving arms guys.
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm sure they'd love that, too, on the cross-country course.
Gallop right on by Philip Dutton.
You know what, though? I think they put some wacky stuff at Adventing Nation's tent. Didn't they?
They did. I don't think so.
I don't think you're allowed big blow-up balloons because that's kind of not good for the horses, you know, that little problem. We'll come up with something to distinguish ourselves.
Hot air balloon out front.
One of the banners flying overhead with the airplane. You know, Horse Radio Network, spot 29.
Yeah. We'll figure it out.
Wouldn't that be fun to have one of those planes going over?
Bouncy house. Just need a bouncy house.
Yeah, that goes well with horses running cross country, too.
Come to the bouncy house. It's right next to the wacky waving arm guy.
Yeah, that's
that
right.
That is directly underneath the drone that is flying our banner. No spook problems here.
It'll be great. Yeah, we'll come up with something fun like that to get us kicked out of Rolex next year. Never invited back. We'll never get press credentials again. All right, our next guest is ready.
Oh, well, fantastic. Our friend Diana DeRosa reporting live from Central Park. Okay, let's do this like it's like a news story. Coming at us live from Central Park right now, Santa's Elf. Oh, wait, I've seen Elf too many times. Diana DeRosa is reporting live on the Central Park Horse Show. Good morning, Diana.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining
us. Show.
What is the pulse in New York City right now? Give it to us.
You know, I'm a New Yorker. I don't actually live in New York City, but I'm here a lot. You know, I do part-time acting, so I come in probably about once a week, and I love it. I mean, New York City is just a happening place. It just, you know, you can't get there any time of the day or night without tons of people all over the place. It's just wonderful.
It is one of the most fun places to go. And, you know, even if you don't live in New York or you just take a weekend trip to New York City, you will be glad you did. It is there's a feeling that you get. It's electric in the city. It's like something just when you walk around, you just walk a little faster. You walk with more spring in your step. There's something really exciting. And to have in Central Park, an unbelievable horse show going on. I mean, that's bringing the best of two things together. Tell us, first of all, give us a picture of the horse show.
First of all, I think it's the fourth year now, and to have it in Central Park in the Bowman Rink is, you know, the backdrop of the city is what you see on one side of this arena. And there's grandstands. The press tent is great. It's high up. It's just spectacular. If you've seen any of the pictures, it's just to see that setup there with the lights and that feeling of being in New York City. They have one area where you can actually have, there's a table and you can dine there. And they even have a trade fair. It's really wonderful.
Trade fair. You just said the magic words right there. When do you ever get to buy tack in New York City? Right there. I mean, that's incredible. So you're looking at day, I think day two happened yesterday. Is that right? And they had international jumping, right?
And the infamous McLean Ward did it. I mean, twice in a row, he won the CP Grand Prix. It's open. There's like a round one and a round two, and he won. He was sort of late in the order, and he took over like a couple of seconds quicker than the time that no one else could beat out of the 34 horses. I mean, it was pretty phenomenal, and he was jumping H.H. Carlos. But he's you're talking about a two-time gold medalist. Just came back from Rio, where I also saw him and his teammates win the silver medal. And to have that kind of talent in New York City. But I think what the beauty is not that it's just McLean Ward. It's also all different levels of rider, because before that class, they had the under 25. So they had, people that would never have a chance to compete at a horse show in Central Park have that opportunity. It was really wonderful.
Now, they also had a puissance, is that correct? A $50,000 $50,000 puissance. Now, I believe that when you were talking about the show jumping class, that was a $40,000 show jumping class that McLean Ward won. $40,000. Yes. Now, tell us about the puissance. Who won that?
So it was the $40,000 U.S. Open Canadian Pacific Speed Class that McLean won. Then McLean went into the puissance, having made a last-minute decision to sign up, and he tied with Andrew Kosher. But McLean and Andrew attempted to jump the wall. They cleared it at 6'3", and then attempted to jump it at 6'9", and neither one could clear it, so therefore they tied for the win of that class.
Okay, let's explain for those that don't follow jumping a whole lot what a puissance is.
Okay, so a puissance, what they do in a puissance, the very first round, you get some preliminary jumps just to make sure that you're sort of safe to keep jumping this higher fence. And then there's a wall that starts at a set height and then is just raised. And as it eliminates riders, it keeps getting raised until they usually do four rounds. So you have four chances to jump that wall, and the one who jumps it at the very end is the one that wins. So in this case, neither one of them were able to jump that higher height, but it's literally a wall that keeps going higher and higher and higher. And imagine that in the middle of the arena in Central Park.
So 6'9" for those. I'm 6'1", and if I put my hand straight up in the air, it pretty much is that high. It's
unreal. Yeah. I'm looking at the picture here of Kocher and Ward standing in front of it. I mean, and puissances are they're big, giant brick walls. The horses can't see. I mean, talk about throwing your heart over first. Puissances are just so unbelievably impressive. I would never do one. Well, unless it was $50,000. I just find it terrifying and too much pressure. But to 6'9", there's a picture of one horse trying to look over the wall, and all you see is skyscrapers in the background. That's how cool this is. But that just goes to show you, Ward he did pretty well for the day.
Oh, my God. Yeah. He was talking in the press conference. He was talking about how his past experiences here have not been that great. He says, I think I fell off twice and got a refusal. So he feels like he redeemed himself.
I should say he did. That's awesome. Are there any international riders that travel over here for this show?
Yeah, absolutely. Matter of fact, the rider that won the $25,000, the under 25 class, it's called the U.S. Open Under 25 Grand Prix, was from Ireland. And that was Daniel Coyle. And so, yeah, there's a cross section of different people from, from across. I don't know if you've heard that that we're going to have Charlotte Dujardin, who's from Great Britain and is the dressage, the winner of, I mean, no one can beat this woman and her horse, Vallegro. It's just amazing. They're going to be here. I mean, that, talk about an opportunity for people to come and see unbelievable talent. If you're talking about dressage, I mean, your unbelievable talent is your McLean Ward and then you get to now to dressage and get the opportunity to see the top dressage rider in the world is really, well, you know, from Great Britain all the way here.
Let's not forget the world's most handsome horse is there too.
Oh my God, Frederick's there
Frederick
too?
Frederick the Great is there. Have you seen Frederick? Have you seen Frederick?
I have not. No. I'm going to get to see him today.
Yeah, see? She's very excited about that. See, we're talking about the world gold medal dressage rider, queen of all dressage, and we're more excited to see Frederick the Great, the most handsome horse in the world. That horse has the best PR marketing campaign ever. We talked to his mom there, 2 weeks ago, before she headed up there. Now she's on late night TV. This woman is genius, Diana. She really is.
Yes.
Now, what else have you seen? They're doing all kinds of demonstrations and things too. What else have you seen?
They are very focused on doing the basic classes. They don't start until 6:30 at night. But on Sunday is when they're going to do sort of the friends and family day, where they're going to do a cross section of different things to give the people that come to the show a chance to sort of delve into things like Pony Club and polo. And I think it's a phenomenal idea. It kind of introduces people that maybe have never been around a horse or that have been around horses but really want that cross section, and it brings that family together.
And are they sold out? What are the crowds like?
The crowd was very good. You know, one of the comments from last night, the crowd was very good, and Mark Bellissimo, who really is the man behind this horse show, he said, you know, it was interesting to see that the crowd actually stayed. A lot of the crowd stayed for the puissance. And both he and McLean Ward said the same thing. It's a class that's easy to understand. You either jump the jump and go over clear, or you knock down the wall. So we had a good crowd, and they stayed.
Hmm. Yeah, that's true. It is an easy class to understand. It's a lot easier than dressage. You know, that's for sure. that's for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's the beauty. When you start to see dressage, though, at the level, you know, of Charlotte Dujardin, it's a little bit easier to understand, because when that horse does extensions and when that horse does Piaf, which is when they raise their knees and they either do it in position or they do it moving forward, the passage, I mean, that you can, you know, it's like a ballet dancer. I mean, it's just so gorgeous that you don't even have to understand it to know
that it's pretty.
Beautiful,
yeah.
And perfect. It.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty. You get pretty. So, well, this is fun. You know, you get to do the coolest trips, by the way. I want to just throw that in there.
I know. I mean, I went from the Olympics to Spruce Meadows. Then I had actually a press club thing in New Orleans that I literally just landed from 2 nights ago. And then here I am in Central Park.
Yeah, sucking.
Cool.
You've not had you know what? You have had a very glamorous month, almost as glamorous as mine, with spending time in the ER with my son and then going to the DMV yesterday. I mean, it's like we're living the same life.
Oh, my God. And you know, of course, that I gear up for the Equus Film Festival because I'm one of the organizers of that. So, you know, my next couple of months are going to be pretty packed.
Yeah, and you'll be back in New York for that. That's still in New York, right?
Yeah,
that's in New York. It's November 17th through the 20th, and we've got a ton of horse films. It's going to be great.
I still want to go to that, Glenn. We need to broadcast.
Yeah, we haven't found a sponsor yet. We need Manhattan Saddlery to sponsor us to come in. We'll do shows from Manhattan Saddlery, and we'll come in and do
Wouldn't
it.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah. We need to
do shows right from the pop-up gallery.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we could do that. That'd be fun, wouldn't it? We could get everybody that's coming down the red carpet to stop and do an interview, and we could do that live. We got to figure this out, Jamie.
I know. It's the things dreams are made of, that's for sure. So would love to go.
Well, Diana is also president of the American Horse Publications. That's the association for all the horse journalists, and we appreciate you stopping by. I know you're very busy. And Jamie, you'll remember Diana because she's the one with 5,000 pounds of cameras, and she weighs about 29 mm-hmm. pounds. Bless so,
her.
Yeah.
I feel so bad for her. Oh,
she works. When you see her trudging around with those cameras that are bigger than she is, it's like, oh my God, Diana, put one of them down. You're making me tired.
Making me tired just thinking about it.
Well, you have fun the rest of the weekend. I know you will.
I will. Thank you so much. Hey, wasn't it great talking to you guys?
Where can people see your photos?
Oh, on DianaDeRosa.com.
And that's,
you can see the Olympic photos there. I'll be putting up the Central Park Horse Show photos. You just kind of go to the name. Like if you wanted to see the Olympics, you go to the Olympic folder. You want to see Central Park, go to the Central Park folder. I got tons of photos there.
Okay, and that's DeRosa, DeRosa, Diana DeRosa. You'll find that at DianaDeRosa.com. Okay, good. Thanks a bunch.
Great talking.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye, Diana. Oh, I'm so jealous.
She does get to do the coolest stuff. She really does.
Yeah.
Fun. It would be fun to go to the film festival. That would be
fun. Oh, my gosh. That'd be awesome. I mean, that's where
Harlem, I think, right?
You got to see all the Harry and Snowman was there last year. All, I think, Unbranded. Just incredible movies that we all talk about all year long. They all start there.
And, you know, one of our most supportive listeners, Ellen, Dr. Ellen from New York, has been trying for years to get us there. And, Ellen, we appreciate your efforts. One of these days, the problem is, in our small budget here at the Horse Radio Network, we cannot afford the $500 a night hotels that New York
brings. We're going to stay at her house.
She didn't offer that. I'm just saying. I'm sorry, she didn't offer.
Maybe it was just me.
See, now I know the truth. You got the offer and I never did.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Really bad ads. It's coming up in a minute. What song do you want to hear today? Do you have any requests?
Oh my gosh, it's Friday. I'm just barely hanging on. My husband's about to, you know, my husband's going to be in New York this weekend too.
Is he flying into New York?
Yes, yeah. And then flying out. So I think he's actually going to stay the night in New York. So somewhere near.
And I am sure that your husband, being the dedicated horse husband he is going to be lining up for tickets in Central Park to go watch dressage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure he will be with all his really thirsty. Because he just loves horse shows so much.
Yes, I know. I mean, so dedicated.
But anyway, so something to do with, I don't know, something fun. Something Friday-ish.
Something Friday-ish. Let me play
the donkey song, I'll kill you. Just because we talked about donkeys does not mean you get to play.
I was looking for, how about I Love Minis? To Marianne Kennedy. You'd love that one, too. Green on Green. How about a song about alcohol?
That sounds good.
All right.
That sounds good.
I'm trying to remember the name of the Templeton song about alcohol. What was it? My favorite
Still
song.
House Jane.
Thank you very much. My favorite song. I couldn't remember the name of it. Yeah, that still is my favorite song. All right. Let's see if we can get it to play. We'll be right back. It's Really Bad Ads Day.
Okay, I don't have to sing.
Jane, stay out of the stillhouse. Jane, stay out of the stillhouse. I know you love that sweet virgin corn. sipping turns, turning up the jug. You don't know when enough's enough. And girl, the crazy things you do. So I'm begging you, Jane, stay out of the stillhouse. Jane, stay out of the stillhouse. I know you love that sweet Virginia corn.
That was Templeton Thompson with Stillhouse Jane. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. Jamie, Jen, and Glenn, we're all here for you today, leading you into the weekend. And, of course, we have really bad ads. It's going to help you do that in just a minute.
Horse people know that they can count on Ovation's value, quality, and style when it comes to hard-wearing schooling attire. Affordable show gear for horse and rider, or top-of-the-line equipment for riders at every level. From breeches to bridle work, saddles to stock ties, helmets to half chaps, Ovation is the premier brand of riding apparel and equipment for you and your horse in the United States, outfitting riders at every level from head to toe. Ask for Ovation brand riding helmets, breeches, and footwear at your local tack store, or go online to ovationriding.com and see the fantastic variety of quality, fashion-forward, affordable products from Ovation. ovationriding.com.
I had a couple of news stories here we wanted to chat about. One was the Little Brown Jug was run yesterday. Now, the Little Brown Jug is like the Kentucky Derby. It's like the ultimate in races, in harness racing. So I got to tell you, it was run yesterday, and it's three-year-old pacing colts on a half-mile track, and it's the third leg of the Harness Racing's Triple Crown. Well, there was a horse called Betting Line that went into that as the favorite, and Betting Line, I will tell you, won the race. But there's controversy, Jamie.
What?
Controversy. So let me read some of this to you. So Betting Line beat Western Fame, going away by 8 lengths, okay, and set a new world record in 149 for three-year-old pacing colts. It was the largest margin of victory in Little Brown Jug history. And if you ever watch harness racing, there usually is not a runaway. It's usually pretty close, right? So, you know, it was just 5 competitors in the field, so it was the smallest field since the Little Brown Jug started in 1946. He sent off as a favorite, so it's no big surprise that he won. However, they apparently, before the race, and I don't know how this happened, I don't have the details on this, but it said, but the discovery of 3 questionable texts between the horse's owner or trainer and the horse's caretakers earlier in the day prompted the filing of a protest by Western Fame's trainer, and he's been on this show, Hall of Famer Jimmy Tactor. Remember, Jimmy Tactor's been on this
yes.
show. Well, Jimmy Tactor had the second place horses, you know, was the trainer of the second place horse. And apparently, they discovered some texts that went back and forth between the team of the first place horse, Betting Line. And the texts basically said that the text instructed Coleman's staff to provide Betting Line with a supplement, which is against the rules close to race time. Coleman, however, said the text referred to vanilla yogurt, which she provides to the horse before every race. The controversy prompted trainers to keep their horses off the track for 5 minutes while Betting Line paraded alone before the race. So you know how they all come out together and parade down during big races? Well, Betting Line was out there by himself because all the other trainers kept their horses off the track while this challenge was happening. So there was all this thing about text messages. Actually, Tactor said he considered keeping his entries off the race entirely and pulling them because he felt that there was cheating going on. So now the judges, I guess, said, no, this race is going to go on. And Tactor decided to run the race for the benefit of the fans. And that's when it ended up happening. But whew, trouble at the Little Brown Jug.
Man, now I was I've been trying to remember who Jimmy Tactor was famous for. It was just couldn't get it. Remember the horse was See You at Peelers.
Yes, yeah, See You at Peelers. That's right.
Who won the first 22 races of her career straight. She finished with 26 wins out of 31 races. She was just unbeatable. So what happened at the end of this?
Well, what happened in the end is, I guess, you know, they got overruled. They ran the race, and the winner is Betting Line, who sets a new world record. Now, they never did say what the supplement was, you know, that kind of thing. I think it's interesting that she came out and said vanilla yogurt when I don't think of vanilla yogurt as a supplement, but I kind of think it's cool that Betting Line likes vanilla yogurt. That's kind of fun. But I've never tried to feed my horse yogurt, but that's something God. I think Scooter would like yogurt too. I'm going to give that a try.
That's an expensive way to give a treat.
So, and now you have a story which I think is fascinating about, and this was all over the news, and out of the Norway study.
Yeah, this is a study on, you know, you never know if horses want to be blanketed or not. And some horses get mad and some horses, like when I would blanket Jet, you know, sometimes you just have to go, I'm smarter than you. It's going to get really cold tonight. And he would try to, you know, nip at me when I would do the straps under his belly. You know, he was super sweet about it. Loved it. Loved having a blanket on. Maybe he was trying to tell me that he was smarter than me, because apparently a study in Norway has figured out that they could teach horses to see if they wanted the blanket on or not. They basically took symbols, and they taught the horses to touch the symbols. A simple black horizontal bar symbol on a sign meant put the blanket on. The vertical black bar meant take it off, and the blank whiteboard meant no change. Okay. The horses were exposed to hot and cold during the learning phase. They did this for a year in summer and winter, and the study team, I can't pronounce any of their names, described how they taught the horses to communicate by touching one of the three different visual symbols to tell them the blanketing preference. And they actually, the horses were smart. I mean, they learned how to tell the handler if they wanted their blanket on or not. And some horses didn't want any change. Some horses chose to stay without a blanket in nice weather. And they chose to have a blanket on when the weather was wet, windy, and cold, says the study. So results show that choices made were not random, but actually dependent on the weather. Horses wanted to be blanketed. Warm blood types needed fewer training days than the cold breeds, they noticed, but the horses that had a slower learning progression performed just as well once they had figured it out. And so basically, you know what? Your horse may want to be blanketed, according to people in Norway. The Norwegian horses want to be blanketed, or they don't, depending on the temperature.
Now, does that work in English?
My horse, I'm assuming that they're the same brain. I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe only Norwegian-born horses want blankets.
That's it. Maybe they're smarter than ours. I don't know.
But the study said
it's fascinating, though.
they indicated that the horses not only had an understanding of the consequence of their choice on their own thermal comfort, but they successfully learned to communicate their preference by learning, by using the symbols.
Okay, so for all you people who are training, we're going to have one of them on Monday. For all you people who are training your OTTBs for the competition in Kentucky in October, you need to teach them to do this kind of stuff so that they can actually talk to the handler and tell them what they want to do and then do it. That would make a great demonstration.
Yeah. The results indicated that the horses had no difficulty learning to discriminate between the visual symbols. So they could tell the line was vertical, a line was horizontal, or there was no line at all. But it, and they said it only took about, they said a learning criteria of 8 to 14 successive correct trials before proceeding with the experiment. So basically, after 11 days of training, the horses were performing successfully by the 14-day cutoff nominated by the researchers. So they were figuring this out very quickly. And they asked the horses if they wanted a blanket on or off for an entire year. And it was, I think the study showed that at 41 degrees, which Fahrenheit, I don't know what that is because I was reading it earlier. 41 degrees is where the horses wanted their blankets.
Hmm. Very cool. Really
and
neat.
And what's funny is but my line has always been 45. Now I'm dropping that down to 40. To save me some time.
That's right. You know, we always have said that that humans over blanket. You know, ever since we started selling blankets in the 90s and shipping 400 denier blankets to Florida, you know, we always said that people over blanket.
Well, there's that picture of two horses as a comic standing out in the field together. And one horse like has probably 15 blankets. It looks like a big puffball out there. And the one horse says to that horse, "What happened to you?" And the horse with all the blankets on goes, "My owner got cold."
That's right. Exactly. Exactly. All right. Let's do it.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
It is that time of the week. We haven't done this in a couple of weeks. It's good to be back. It's time for really bad ads. And Jennifer said a ton of you sent in some really bad ads. We have some audio ones too today, Jamie. So they, of course, get put in twice. They get put in the pool twice to potentially win. That's right. The sponsor for this really bad ads is My Closet. My Closet is sponsoring. I have a box of crap. We've been to a couple trade shows now. You should see my office looks like it is exploded in here. So we need to get some of this crap out of here. I know it's on your bucket list. And it's funny. As soon as we announced the box of crap, more entries came in. So apparently it's a coveted prize, my box of crap. And that will be what happens at the end of the month. We will do a drawing with everybody that submits, whether you get on the air or not. We will have you on the list to see if you will win a box of crap. We'll have to come up with somebody special to do pick the number. We'll have to think about that.
I mean, it is a box of crap after all.
I know. Well, so we'll have to think of somebody crappy to help us. That didn't come out right. So, so we're starting with Jamie today.
All right. Hold on. Oh, hi,
is Lucas going to help us?
He's gonna help us. Yes, okay. He might. Stop. You want mommy's phone?
He has a cold. He doesn't feel well. Lucas is
Lucas is
a little bit under the weather. And like all men, he gets grumpy when he's under the weather.
Yeah. Oh, the whining. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Which is worse with the whining, the child or the husband when they're sick?
It's a tie. Diane said this one and then said, don't use Google Translate to write classified ads. Don't do it. 3 years old paint horse mare, no register. please, for sending pics, I need your email address. Nice brown Tobiano paint horse mare, 3 years old, two blue eyes with no paper and very, very good character, not yet ridden, but no saddle and ground work. I search for this horse, very good hands. And home forever, she, that not bad experiences with people. Please, I go not down with the price. I must not sell. More info via email. What the hell did I just read?
I must not sell.
Please, I not. Go down with the price.
I search for this horse, very good hands.
Very good hands.
Very good hands. And very good character, not. Very good character, not. Oh, that's fun. I gave you that one because I literally could not wrap my mind around reading it earlier.
I still don't even know what I just read. So let me look through this. Like, paint horse, 3 years old.
Unbroke. It has blue eyes. I got that.
Two blue eyes.
Yep,
no paper.
Eyes. I'm glad I had two blue eyes. Yep. All right. Jennifer sent this one in. Not our Jennifer. Jennifer Morlane. 17 hands gelded mare for sale. $3,500.
No way.
Wait a minute. Let me reread that to everybody who wasn't thinking correctly. 17 hands gelded mare for sale. $3,500. That is correct. And it's a Friesian. The Friesian is an ancient, beautiful breed, originally regarded as a powerful, all-around utility animal. Throughout history, it has been used as a warhorse, having the strength, agility, and sturdy bodies to carry armored knights into battle and in every sort of farm work and riding purposes. I'm sure right out of Wikipedia. In the last few hundred years, Friesians have gained a reputation as a fine saddle horse and as an excellent harness horse because of its attractive active trot. Sorry. They are also intelligent horses. Their predominantly color is black. This is an amazing, amazing, gorgeous horse. That's it. Nothing about its... Well, nothing about its age, nothing about what this particular horse has done. They basically copied Wikipedia and posted it into the ad.
And the pictures are of a bay horse.
Yeah,
did you notice that?
Yeah, it's a bay horse that doesn't look anything like a Friesian.
But, you know, it was clickbait. She clicked on it.
17-hand gelded mare.
Oh, my gosh. We have a fantastic...
You're going to have to add that to your closing now. Spay, neuter, and geld your mares.
Geld your mares. I'm getting my closing is getting a lot longer.
The next one is an audio one, and this was sent in by somebody who didn't leave their name. So we don't know who sent this in. It's sent in by unknown. Are you ready? Let's hear it.
Hey, guys, I'm calling you in with a really bad ad. The title is Honey Badger for Sale, $2,500. Want a horse that doesn't give a shat? You found your horse. You want to trailer? Sure. Farrier? You betcha. Bareback? Saddle? Why not? This horse will do it all. He doesn't give a shat. Scared? Nope. He'll run with the big dogs, lawnmowers, Harleys. He's got fight, not flight. If you want a kid's horse, nope. This sassy pants is not your horse. But if you want a bad, you know what, mother, you know what, who will kick hoofs and take names, run, don't walk. This handsome character is a four-year-old broke quarter Mustang gelding. Loves women. He's feisty and smart as hell. If you're timid, don't bother. But if you can cowgirl up, this horse is going to make your dreams come true. If you like personal space, go find your quiet room. This son will be up in your business. He likes to cuddle, kiss, and frisk you for treats. He's not just easy to catch. He's Velcro. Got traits? Tell me what you got. Looking for a big, dumb animal for my kids. Dead broke equine that anyone can mount and ride out on the streets. Breed, gender, color, not important. Just need bomb-proof deadhead. Make me an offer. Enjoy. Bye-bye.
That's TJ. I know. From our Facebook page.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. All right, that's good. Hilarious. What are you doing, bro?
I'm glad we beeped out some of that, actually.
That's pretty funny. It's a bad. Thank you for not saying the bad words.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, our show after earlier in the day with all the ass talk is already flagged. But
it's already been flagged.
That's funny. Well, I appreciate it. So, TJ, thank you if that was you for sending that in. And Jennifer, make a note that TJ needs to be in there twice now.
Ah, I gotta go start SpongeBob again. Okay, here we go. Nicole sent this one in. Wanted, looking for experienced cross-country riding buddy. Oh my God, these pictures are hilarious. And this is East Garafraxa, Ontario, I'm assuming.
Our Canadian friends.
Our Canadian friend, Nicole Lutzma. Looking for buddy rider for cross-country adventures on my farm and neighboring properties. Equipment supplied unless you have a favorite saddle that fits a fjord. I have one horse and one camel. And the camel does not like to ride alone. I thought these pictures were a joke.
It was a joke too.
Okay. Must meet the following requirements. Ideally, you would be a retired event rider like myself, OEF member, over 18, able to participate in high-risk activity, live near me, size appropriate to ride a 14-hand fjord, and fit between the humps of the camel.
Fit between the humps of a camel.
The fjord is young, strong, confident, rides, drives, and competes. Possibility of riding the camel if interested. I was thinking this was a joke. I thought it was a Photoshop picture of a fjord and a camel going in a field. And it turns out it's not. It's actually somebody looking for somebody to ride their fjord so their buddy Sour Camel can go out on trail.
Look at the size of the neck on the fjord and the camel. They both have big
necks. Completely opposite.
Would you do this? Would you go ride the camel on a trail ride once?
Yeah,
I know. I was thinking the same thing. I'd even do that. That would be fun.
I mean, when are you going to get the chance? And the two-hump camels are a lot more rare than the one-hump camels, so maybe not in Canada.
You think it would be easier to stay on the two-hump camels, too.
Isn't a camel a desert-dwelling animal?
Well, that was the other thing I was thinking. We're in Canada where it snows.
Obviously, he touches the button for him to be blanketed. He wants his blanket on.
That's it. And what's a camel blanket look like? Does it have two big humps on it?
Did you sell those at your shop?
No, we didn't have camel blankets. But that's a new line for Weatherbeater to consider.
Yeah, Weatherbeater. Yeah. Get on that.
Yeah. Because I'm sure there's a ton of camels in Canada that need blankets. That's a big market.
This is just, it's like joke overload.
I want to call this person. I really want to find this person and call him. I really do.
First of all, you don't qualify because you are not a retired event rider and you would not be size appropriate for a 14-hand fjord.
Well, this particular fjord looks rather chunky. I might actually fit. Denise, guest wrangler Denise, can you figure out who this is? We need to have them on the show. We need more details on the camel in Canada. Or Nicole, if you know who this is, let us know. We're going to get this person on the show.
I need to be her friend.
So now the next one is our horse trailer of the week. This was sent in by Sienna, and the ad says free old horse trailer. No wheels, no axles. You want it? Come and get it. It has a chain to pull it up onto a trailer and a bunch of crap inside. Oh, yeah, crap goes with it. So basically what we have here is a box, a wooden box, has a roof, everything kind of looks like a horse trailer, except there's no wheels, there's no axles.
This is not a horse trailer.
It looks like a storage thing. I think it was probably used for cows in the middle of a field. They just open it and, you know, the cows can go in for protection.
It's like stocks, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. This is the first bad horse trailer we've ever had in 5 years that doesn't even have wheels or axles, nothing.
Because it can't be a horse trailer. I mean, Sienna's just sending what the ad said. But
isn't it nice to know there's a train to pull it up onto the trailer? Now, you're going to have a hell of a winch because this thing looks heavy. Really does look heavy.
I need to find out where Livingston is because this seems like
there's
West
Livingston,
Virginia.
There's Livingston, Illinois, and it's flat. So that's what I was guessing.
There's a Livingston, Montana.
Oh, that could be, too.
There's a Livingston.
Looks like a Montana sky, doesn't it?
It does, but there's got to be a lot of there's a Livingston in Texas.
Okay.
I mean, this could be any. There's got to be a Livingston in every state.
Yeah.
map. I'm going to map it.
Jennifer will post a link, the picture on our Facebook page, too.
Perfect. Perfect. There's a Livingston in New York, too, just so you know. It could be any of those places. Matt sent this one in. This one is from Matt. Horses, this is from a Facebook ad, horses intact for sale in MD, PA, DE, and NJ. That'd be Maryland, Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey. See how smart I am?
Oh, yeah. Wow. You did go to school.
Thank you. Yeah. This the person's name is blocked out, but looking for cheap or free to good home trail horse, age does not matter. M-A-D-D-E-R. And this one's from Sparta, New Jersey. I'm looking for a cheap or free to good home trail horse age.
You should be doing this in your best Jersey girl accent, you know.
I don't, oh my God, I don't have a Jersey girl accent.
It's the only one I haven't heard you do.
I'm looking for
a cheap. Look at the picture of the person who posted this ad. Now, you need to match the voice to that picture.
I can't. It's stressful. It's stressful. I'll try. I'm looking for a cheap or free. I can't do it.
Sounded more like Daffy Duck.
I'm looking for a cheap or free to good home trail horse age. Pit or breed does not matter. Has to be able to go over bridges, through water, traffic safe, trailer well, good with worming, easy to catch, can be ridden alone, can be ridden with others, not herd bound. I guarantee a good home. Will receive great hay and great feed and will be loved. I'm looking for a personal trail horse for myself. Let me know what you have. Thank you. All of that, and it's free.
And three quarters of it spelled wrong.
I wish that I could click on the comments that are under this, because certainly people have got to be like, you're insane.
Yeah, exactly. What's wrong with you? Jersey girl right there.
Sorry to all our Jersey listeners. Yeah. This is embarrassing. This is why we want you guys to read your own damn ads.
Lindsay did. You want to hear hers?
Uh-huh.
Lindsay Roush read this one. Maybe.
Lindsay from Indiana here, with a stallion in need of a new home in Carroll County. I have a 4-year-old Tennessee Walker Cross stallion for sale. Sebastian is in need of a good home ASAP. He is a gentle horse who needs plenty of space to run and gallop. He isn't broken to ride, but is all alone in his pasture. Like to see him going to a loving family. I'm asking $350 or best offer. Personal commentary here, you've got a stallion, he's 4 years old, and he's unbroke. Geld the bugger, then let's talk.
Geld that
shat. Shat.
I think that's a bad word too, Glenn.
Is it? Oh, jeez.
Yeah, this is the past tense of it. Geld it. What is wrong with people? It's so frustrating. It's so frustrating. Chad, my husband, always says to me, he goes, it must be hard being you. Like, it's exhausting. It's exhausting.
Michelle Griffin sent in the following one. Free paint horse in Spokane, which I think is Washington. A 4-year-old paint stud horse free to good home. Green broke. Can't keep him because my grandma thinks... I can't keep him because my grandma thinks he will jump the fence and mate with the cows and make a half horse, half cow baby.
Oh, bless your heart, Grandma. You better get that horse out of here. He's going to jump the fence and make a baby with the cow, and I don't know what the hell I'd do with a half horse, half cow baby.
So would that be a how or a course?
Oh, you're doing the Brangelina name.
Yeah, yeah,
okay,
yeah, yeah. I'm trying. Would it be a how or a course?
There's just, it's lose-lose on that one. There's no good one.
Oh, God.
Oh, gosh.
That had to be made up. Nobody actually put that on Craigslist. Please tell me that we haven't.
Glenn, as long as
you and I have
been
reading. We let these people vote.
As long as you and I have been reading these bad ads, you know, honest to God, that people can't make this stuff up. You just can't make this up.
This explains why we have the two that we do running for president. I'm just saying. Just
I know.
Kind of just as a reflection
way,
of society.
There are three running for president.
Okay, yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
One is just a little less crazy than the other one. So Pick the least crazy. Homemade full-size horse cart. $145.
Oh, my God.
Live in Alba, Mississippi. Good training cart. Will need some TLC pickup only. What the hell am I looking at? It's like pallets with shafts.
It is. It looks like it was made of pallets. There's no wheels. I don't think so, anyway. It doesn't look like there's wheels on it.
It's like the bad ad, but this is like, you need to do this on the driving radio show. You need a segment of like bad cart
ads. Bad cart ads. Do you see the horse staring at it going, what the hell is that thing? There's a horse standing right beside it in the field staring at it going, get that thing out of my field.
I like the strategically placed bad trailer behind it in the one picture.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah, you're right. This place is full of bad crap.
It's a mess.
The horse looks cute, though. I got to give him
poor
credit.
Poor horse. He's going to cut himself. My horse be dead out there. Yeah. I had that cap in my yard.
Yeah. Okay. Ours, too. Nigel will be rubbing all over it and getting tetanus. All right.
Just rubbing on it, getting tetanus.
All right. Gemma's going to end the day. And Jennifer says this is the best one of the day here. So we'll find out. No pressure, Gemma.
Okay, Glenn and Jamie, here's a 100% real Craigslist ad to go with Jamie's clowns. And for this one, we need background music.
Oh, no.
Horse lover needed in Coffin Point. Looking for someone to ride with me. Need to have riding/horse experience. Not looking for advice or lessons. Just company. Weight under 160 pounds. Female preferred. Usually 1 to 2 hour ride. Preferred Beaufort resident. So basically, you will be riding, but you'll be riding to your death. You have to weigh under 160 pounds because that's all he can easily drag into the bush. And an out of town person is best because it will take a while before someone comes looking for you. You're welcome, Jamie.
Do you mind if I hear that again?
Play that again, please.
This was the best ad ever. Gemma, you win the prize this month. Nobody else could bother apply. I'll send you something, Gemma. Okay, but
okay, Glenn and Jamie, here's a 100% real Craigslist ad to go with Jamie's clowns. And for this one, we need background music. Horse lover needed in Coffin Point. Looking for someone to ride with me. Need to have riding/horse experience. Not looking for advice or lessons. Just company. Weight under 160 pounds. Female preferred. Usually 1 to 2 hour ride. Preferred Beaufort resident. So basically, you will be riding, but you'll be riding to your death. You have to weigh under 160 pounds because that's all he can easily drag into the bush. And an out-of-town person is best because it will take a while before someone comes looking for you. You're welcome, Jamie.
They'll take you on a trail ride to the clown that's hiding in the woods.
Gemma, are you free at 10 o'clock on Fridays? We'll just let you do all the really bad ads and we'll quit early.
Oh my God,
that was just unbelievable. Crazy. She is so good at that. She sent others in. She is just terrific at this.
Oh my God.
And the music was perfect. She makes us look like amateurs, Gemma.
That was amazing.
I feel inadequate now, to be honest.
If she could do a Jersey accent, she can have my job.
She's in. That's right. Unbelievable. Oh, man, what a good show. Thanks for finishing with that one, Jennifer. You were absolutely right.
God,
well, get your ads into Jennifer at HorseRadioNetwork.com. You know, record them on your phone. Put music in the background. Make them creepy. That's even better. you know, we're going to get to the day some point. We're going to get to the day when they do them all and we don't have to do any. We just sit back and listen.
I know. These days. It's going to be a lonely day. It's going to feel really sad.
Because they're better than us. That's the problem. If they sucked, it wouldn't be as bad. Then we could still feel good about ourselves. But right now, I'm feeling rather inadequate.
That was so funny. It wore me out. Like I lost oxygen. That was so funny.
We'll be back here on Monday, right? Are we going to be back on Monday?
Yeah, but I got to go right now because I got to go find that blanket for a two-hump camel.
Get sewing, Jamie. Get sewing. That's it, everybody. Have a terrific weekend. Don't forget, all the shows are coming out on the Horse Radio Network. You can find them on our app, iOS or Android. Just search for horseradionetwork.com. It's free and it's easy. It's the simplest way to listen to our shows. You can also find all our shows on all the podcast players out there, podcatchers and iTunes and all that stuff. And horseradionetwork.com has all the shows as well. Thanks, Jamie. Fun week.
Thank you, Spade Neuter Geld. You guys have a great one.
See you, everybody. Bye. 160 pounds is all we can drag into the woods.